taking the kids to events like this because this lets them enjoy their fun artistic side. They get plenty of their engineering science side from science at home with dad and mom. So this lets them get out and dance and have a good time.
Okay, we've done plenty of interviews. The music is still pounding. The dance floor is packed. Enough of the reporting. Let's go join the party. Ari Shapiro, NPR News, London.
The program where the party never stops. It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
I'm Robin Young. The new college football playoff system may be great for the fans, but our analyst says the NCAA is really just following the money.
$574 million for the TV rights for these three games alone.
That's next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
Weekdays starting at noon on AM 580.
Join WILL and Mid-American Gardener this July as we explore the magnificent gardens of Germany. I'm Diane Nolan, host of Mid-American Gardener, and I'll be with you on this 9-day journey as we experience the stunning gardens and castles of Germany, including large formal gardens and small privately owned gardens. For more information, call 217-333-7300 or go online to will.illinois.edu/willtravel.
Another new year, another set of resolutions. We all aspire to be better people around this time of year, whether by eating better, exercising more, or cutting back on, you decide. But breaking old habits can be tough. This week, we delve into the world of self-help, on To the Best of Our Knowledge from PRI.
Sunday evenings at 7 on AM 580.
On this dawn of 2015, many individual investors remain twice burned, thrice shy.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Investors who purchase the kind of fund that tracks one of the key stock indexes are just coming off a fine year for making money. The S&P 500 went up 11% for the year, even though the S&P fell 1% on New Year's Eve. The Dow was up 7.5% for the year, the NASDAQ Composite up 13% for 2014. Index funds will have returns better than that, in part because of dividends getting reinvested into the funds along the way. It was year six for this bull run, yet many individual investors chose not to be part of it, with memories still too fresh of the dot-com bubble popping and the great financial collapse of 2008. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has our report.
Every year, Bankrate.com takes the pulse of average Americans with a survey, the Financial Security Index. And every year since the financial crisis, people have said they're staying away from stocks, even as the markets rose.
Risk aversion among individual investors still remains very, very high.
That's Greg McBride, Bankrate.com's chief financial analyst. 73% of the people interviewed for the 2014 survey said they were not more inclined to invest in stocks. McBride says usually at this point in a financial recovery, small investors do flock back to the markets, but not this time.
They bought in right before the market peak in 2000. They sold out at the bottom, got back in, and then got burned again. And a lot of those individual investors simply have never come back to the equity markets.
There can be consequences for investors who stay out of stocks because historically the markets have been your best investment for retirement. Stuart Ritter is a senior financial planner with T. Rowe Price. He says if you skip stocks,
you've got two choices. One, you need to save more to make up for the earnings you're not getting, or two, you need to recognize you're going to have a smaller balance and a lower lifestyle in retirement.
Ritter says over every 15-year period since 1926, the S&P 500 has gone up. He says your best strategy is to ride out the short-term ups and downs and invest for the long term. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
So last night, were you waving the Lithuanian flag or maybe the blue one with the big euro symbol? How could you have forgotten that Lithuanians, as of today, are using the euro for their money? The BBC's Vishala Sripathma is just back and joins us now from London. Good morning.
Morning.
Now, you've been reporting from Lithuania, and you've been speaking to Lithuanians about this adoption of the euro. What have you been hearing?
It's a mixed bag, really. People in the capital seem to be quite upbeat about adopting the euro currency, and they kind of see it as a last stamp of approval from the European Union. There are some worries that prices will rise once they adopt the euro. So I was asking lots of people in the main shopping district how they felt about losing their national currency. This is what they had to say.
We're not losing our independence or something. I mean, it would be just easier for everyone who's traveling abroad, who's maybe doing business. It doesn't bother me.
Generally, I feel people are a little bit afraid. They think that the prices will rise up, but I personally don't. I think it's good.
Problem is, of course, if things go wrong, they no longer can ask their central bank to print local currency to tide them over. That's what happens when you join the common currency.
And it's something that economists acknowledge. One person I spoke to said, actually, they are quite worried about how the eurozone is going to look in, say, 4 or 5 years' time. A lot of it rests on the laurels of Brussels, and that does make people feel quite nervous about it, particularly as the economic makeup of the Baltics is very different to that of Western Europe. So that adoption process is going to take a while.
When Ukraine wanted to move closer to Europe, Russia took umbrage. How do you think this move into the bosom of the eurozone might affect Lithuania's ties with Russia?
It's already had a pretty negative impact, particularly because Russia has banned EU imports into the country. And a lot of industries in Lithuania sell solely, exclusively to Russia. So they're hit quite badly. Movements in Ukraine, they've been watching very closely, but they're not as fearful as people may think about Russia entering their borders because they're part of the EU, they're part of NATO, so they've got that security blanket.
The BBC's Vishala Sripathma is just back from the country that is now the 19th country to partake in the euro. Vishala, thank you.
Thanks very much.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Battelle. Battelle's airport bottle scanner can detect threats in seconds. Learn more at battelle.org. Marketplace's coverage of wealth and poverty issues is supported by the Ford Foundation, working with visionaries on the front lines of social change worldwide. More at fordfoundation.org.
Now over to Annie Baxter, a reporter on the Marketplace Schadenfreude desk with news. The Internal Revenue Service is expecting what they see as a miserable year. Big funding and staffing cuts, new mandates, and the last-minute extension of several dozen tax breaks are making things complicated at the IRS.
There was a concern the 2015 tax filing season might start late. Not so. It'll begin January 20th. That's the good news at the IRS. It all kind of goes south from there.
We're very concerned that we may only be able to answer about 50% of the calls that come in.
That's Anthony Burke, an IRS spokesman. He says funding cuts have forced the agency to shed about 13,000 workers since 2010, and reductions will continue this year when the agency absorbs a budget cut of $346 million. That means fewer people manning the phones on tax day and fewer agents auditing possible tax cheaters.
They're going to be handling more issues with fewer resources.
That's Kelly Phillips Erb, a tax attorney. She says one of those big issues is the Affordable Care Act's individual health insurance mandate.
Those folks who are subject to the health care credits, they're going to have to figure, did I get enough credit? Do I have to pay something back?
The IRS says one way to avoid confusion is to file electronically, as the software can help you figure all that out. I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
And there are new data showing that 2014 did not turn out to be the year of buying music for download. The audience research company Nielsen SoundScan finds album downloads were down 9%, songs down 12%. People are instead signing up for streaming services such as Spotify or listening using YouTube, which is part of Google, right? Sales of vinyl, those plastic spinny things that contain analog renderings of music, were the highest since this survey began 23 years ago. The crooner from Times Square in New York last night, Taylor Swift, had the top album of 2014. I'm not going to play it for you here. It's still a bit early and my head hurts. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Because Broadway has never been broader. It's not just for gays anymore.
Neil Patrick Harris hosted the Tony Awards four times and won a Tony this year for his performance in the title role of Hedwig in The Angry Inch. On the next Fresh Air, Neil Patrick Harris talks about performing on Broadway and surviving child stardom. Join us.
Weekday mornings at 11 and again at 7 p.m. on AM 580.
Who marry in all 50 states.
This is Illinois Public Media, WILL AM 580 and WILL FM 90.9 HD3 Urbana.